know, when you think about legacy, what do you think about? When we think about legacy, we often think about people in history. People that have done significant things, sacrificed their life for a specific cause, and we remember who they are and what they did, and we tried to carry on their passion for their specific cause. There's people in history, there's people in sports that we've looked up to and thought, those are legends. They have a legacy that we remember, and we talk about them, and we share them, and we pass them on. Legacies are stories of people that have done great things, that have great impact on other people, impact in the world in a positive way. Their stories motivate us to continue to do the right thing for their cause. As Christians, as followers, as disciples of Jesus, we also have a legacy. Jesus. We remember Jesus as being God, who came here in the flesh. The one who sacrificed His life to provide us with life. We remember His legacy. And we remember that we're called by God through the Bible, through His Word, to continue to pass on His legacy. That legacy of good news of the gospel. To share with other people who Jesus is, His legacy, and the legacy that He has done to provide us with life. His work on the cross, His victory over sin and death through the resurrection. The fact that He has given us life, eternal life. That's the gift that we are called to pass on to the next generation. Jesus is our legacy, and He calls us to continue to grow His legacy, to continue to pass on His legacy. Over the next few years, as we promote and pursue our next step of faith called legacy here at Northridge, it will always be about sharing the legacy of our faith in Jesus with the families in our community in order to pass on the free gift of life in Christ to future generations. Legacy is something that God called His family to pass on from the very beginning. This morning we're going to look at Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, and I want to challenge you. This is a longer psalm. I want to challenge you to go home and read the whole thing this afternoon. For time purposes this morning, I want to focus on the first 8 verses. Follow along with me on the screen or in your Bibles this morning. Listen to what God's Word says to us. Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. For He issued His laws to Jacob. He gave His instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not even born yet. And they in turn will teach their children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting His glorious miracles and obeying His commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. Now, a couple things. If you have a Life Application Study Bible, which I highly recommend that you get. There's some things in there that you can see that kind of give us a little bit of background and information on this. So if you look at the very beginning of the psalm, it says it's written by a guy named Asaph. Who in the world is Asaph, right? Never heard of Asaph. But Asaph was one of 3 worship leaders in the temple. And he wrote a few other psalms along with this one. And they used these psalms as different readings during worship, or they even made them into songs. So when nobody in the spiritual family will listen to the preacher, they send the worship leader. Right? The worship leader actually has some good things to say once in a while, right? That's right. That's right. And God uses Asaph here as a person to remind the community. Anytime the Old Testament you read Jacob or Israel, it's talking about the family, the spiritual family, God's family. And so when we see that, we can kind of remind ourselves that that's us, right? That we are the New Testament spiritual family of God, that we have been invited into that family. Now, the background in this psalm is that it takes place in the kingdom of Israel when it was divided. They were going through difficult times. And so the northern kingdom was called Israel or Ephraim, and the southern kingdom was called Judah. Ephraim was the most important and prominent tribe of Israel from the time of Moses all the way through King Saul. It was a prominent tribe and important because that's where the tabernacle was set up. It was set up in their territory, right? The tabernacle represented and symbolized God's powerful presence among the people. And he had chosen Ephraim to be that place all through their history up until now. When David became king, he became king of the tribe of Judah. And the tribe of Judah then gained prominence because of their obedience to God. So God chose Solomon, David's son, to build the temple in Jerusalem, in Judah, rejecting Ephraim because of their sinful disobedience. That caused major tension in the community. Right? Major tension. They were divided. So Asaph writes Psalm 78 as a reminder for the community of Judah to stay focused and committed to knowing God and following Him by being obedient in their life. If you read the rest of Psalm 78, Asaph recounts the incredible things that God had done for them, reminding them that God was the one who rescued them from Egypt, who brought them out of Egypt, who helped them cross the Red Sea, the one who gave them the Ten Commandments, the one who fed them manna and quail in the wilderness. God's power in all of those events. The story of what God had done had been passed on from generation to generation. And what Asaph is trying to tell them is, don't ever forget that. Keep passing that on to your children so that we could be reminded of the legacy of God in our lives and we can continue to pass that legacy on to the next generation. You see, growing a legacy for Jesus has always been about faith, family, and future. So if you're following along on your outline this morning, the first thing is that in order to grow a legacy, you need to grow a legacy of faith in Jesus. Asaph says in verse 4, we will tell the next generation, what? The praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders that He has done. You see, if we want to grow a legacy, it's all about our faith in Christ and the faith that it takes to share His legacy with the next generation. In Psalm 78, Asaph reminds the spiritual family of Israel the powerful actions that God did for them in order to rescue them from Egypt. It's a reminder of God's power, His presence, and His faithfulness. It's a reminder to call and to keep their faith in the living God because He's the only true God that has taken care of them. While they looked back at the miraculous deeds that God did for them, they also looked forward in faith to the coming of their spiritual Savior, Jesus. Now, one of the things that we know as we look back is that all of these Old Testament stories point to God as the rescuer that we know as Jesus. So when we talk about legacy being about faith, it's about being reminded of the miraculous things that God has done in our lives. I want you to think about this for a second. What a miraculous thing it is that God has revealed Himself to you. Just the fact that you're here today, Just the fact that we are to gather together to talk about Jesus and faith and what He has done through the cross and through the resurrection. That's God. That's a miraculous work of God that He did in your heart. Asaph is saying to the community, don't forget about all the miraculous, powerful things that God has done for us and among us. Look back at your life and see and notice the power and the faithfulness of God. You see, that's what legacy is all about. It's about our faith. It's about our faith in an incredibly powerful God. One that has the power to transform you and me. It's unbelievable. And legacy is about taking that faith and then taking the next step of faith in passing on the story, the legacy of Jesus. Because we know, and we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, about how what it means to be disciples, that we're called to go and make disciples. That's all about going into the world and sharing the story, the gospel of Jesus. It's about sharing the legacy of Jesus with the next generation. That takes faith. So as we look at legacy, it's about our faith in what Jesus has done for us, and it's about our faith and taking the next step of faith and taking that gift of eternal life, taking that gift of grace that Jesus has given to us and giving it to the next generation so that they can give it to their next generation and so on. So God can carry on the good news of the gospel into our family of faith. Let's grow a legacy of faith for Jesus at Northridge. Growing a legacy is also about growing a legacy of family focused on Jesus. Verses 5 and 6, Asaph says this, God decreed statutes for Jacob and established a law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to do what? To teach their children so the next generation would know them. Even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. You see, legacy is about family. It's about our family, and it's about the spiritual family of God. Legacy is about growing our faith in our families and inviting other people to be a part of God's spiritual family. The story and the legacy of Jesus is something that we are called by God to teach our children so that they can pass it on to their children. Asaph challenges us to be faithful to God by sharing this story. If we want to leave a legacy of faith in our families, it must center around the story of the miraculous deeds of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We must faithfully teach them to our children consistently so that they can pass it on. So here's the question for all of us today. What legacy are we leaving? Are we leaving a legacy in our children, a legacy of faith? The legacy of growing Jesus? Or are we more concerned about our own legacy? What legacy are we passing on to our children, to our community? We are called by God to be a family of believers, to pass on His truth, His story, His legacy to our children. And we are also called by God to be a spiritual family that goes into the broken world and tells them that we have a place where they can belong. A place where they can be a part of a family. To share the legacy of Jesus with them and invite them into our spiritual family. All in all, what we're called to do is Jesus invites us into His spiritual family. And He calls us to go into a world and invite other people to join us in that family as well. Let's grow a legacy of family for Jesus at Northridge. Lastly, we grow the legacy of Jesus for future generations. In verse 7, Asaph says it's so each generation can set its hope anew on God. Isn't it incredible the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? There's a lot of you who are going through difficulties. Life is tough. And the hope of eternal life that we have in Jesus Christ is what keeps us going, isn't it? in a broken world that doesn't know Jesus, there is no hope. You see, sharing the legacy of Jesus is all about giving the world hope. Giving them something that they can grasp onto, a place where they can belong, something that is bigger than themselves, something that is about eternity, greater than the difficulties that they're going through. Again, our community is filled with people who are lost and broken. Over 8,000 people right around us who are living apart from Jesus and the church. And we're called to go and share the legacy of Jesus with them, to share the redemptive story of Jesus that would bring them hope for their life here on earth and for their eternal life. Let's grow the legacy of Jesus at Northridge so future generations can share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, you all know that for the first 13 years of my life, I worked for Waste Management. 13 years, my legacy was all about climbing the corporate ladder. For 13 years, my legacy was all about finding ways that I could increase my income so that I could have more stuff, so that I could make more money, so that I could pass that on to my children, so that I could pass on this incredible thing that I was a great worker, right? When I felt called by God to go into ministry, I'll never forget the day that I walked into my boss's office and I said, I want to give you my 2 weeks' notice. I'm quitting my job and I'm going to go into ministry. And I really kind of expected them to say, oh, please don't, right? We need you. What are we going to do without you, right? But they didn't. Matter of fact, they said, okay, give us your keys because we're taking you home right now. Okay. Not a problem. I can deal with that. I knew I was called into ministry. Not a big deal. But then like a year later, I saw one of the drivers that I supervised out on the road. So I went out to see him and I pulled over and I said, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. And he said, hey, good. How are you? I'm like, really good. How are things going? And there was a little hint in my mind that I was hoping that they would say, man, things are just terrible. Like things, the minute you left, man, things just went downhill. We ought to just close the place. And he looked at me and said, things are great, man. It couldn't be better. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Like, aren't you supposed to miss me? Isn't there supposed to be like my picture on the wall or something there? And it was really a great reminder to me that a lot of times in our world, we invest in our own legacy, not even realizing that it's temporary. That the things that we really try to invest in really are like dust in the wind. Isn't there a song like that? Right? The Bible talks about how this world, like everything is going to pass away. Jesus says to us in the Gospels, he says, don't put your treasures into things on this earth. In other words, don't invest your legacy in things because they're temporary. Invest your treasure in heaven, because that's the only eternal thing. Listen, I want to challenge you today to think about your legacy. What legacy is it that you want to leave? Because the only legacy that we can leave that's eternal is a legacy for Jesus. The most important thing that we can invest in is sharing the good news of the gospel with our children, with our friends, with our family, and with our community. Why? Because the only thing that we have around us that's eternal are people. Legacy is not about purchasing a building. It's not about putting our name on the building so everybody can see that we've arrived. Legacy is about Jesus. It's about sharing His legacy with the people around us. Why? So that we can take them with us into eternity. Because that's the only legacy that's going to last. So today, as we embark on this spiritual journey for the next 3 years called Legacy. May we all be reminded that Jesus calls us to grow a legacy for Jesus at Northridge. Grow a legacy for Jesus at Northridge. Let's pray.